shores of El Pacifico. Phil Hendry.
And it's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, the 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch and where we are constantly going places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't. Now, a special announcement for you. In a couple of weeks, we start our podcast, which will be available through iTunes. It will be available in 2 weeks. Phil Hendry presents our brand-new podcast. Watch out for it. Of course, we'll be tweeting it up, as well as mentioning it on Facebook. And this is free. It's not going to be a part of the subscription service on our website. This will be a free offering for you. Phil Hendry presents our new podcast. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. We'll give you the Twitter accounts that we're all on, as well as our Facebook page here in just a moment. We do have on the line with us Ted Bell from Ted's Beverly Hills. It is a Friday night, and we usually check in with Ted on these Friday nights. We're going to do that tonight from Ted's.
Ted's of Beverly Hills.
Hey, Ted.
And just a reminder, I want people to come down because the National Hockey League playoffs, I don't know if you've been watching them, Phil, I know you mentioned they are heating up. Go on into Ted's and have one of our great, delicious Kansas City steaks and enjoy the hockey playoffs here in our prime rib room.
Boy, that, I saw the Flyer game.
Oh, that Flyer. Last night, the Penguins have pushed it to a game six, I think, and they were out, man. It looked like they were on their way out. So I got to tell you, it's been a very exciting playoff. So and I'm not a hockey fan.
Yeah, a lot of people are not hockey fans, but they're hockey playoff fans.
That's me.
That's me as well. I nothing beats the NHL at playoff time because it gets.
Well, everybody watches because they want to see the fisticuffs, and I understand that. I don't really. It's not really the reason why I watch. I like to watch because. The play is intense, you know.
And so you're going to have anything in the prime rib room there?
Well, we're going to have our usual buffet. We'll have, our happy hours. And, of course, we invite everybody on in. It's going to be a great weekend. And it's going to be a much-needed relaxing weekend because I had a little bit of a difficult time this week. It was a parenting issue, Phil, that I wanted to sort of bring up to you and your audience tonight. And it has to do with my son, Joshua, who is a 15-year-old now. And Joshua is in a singing club at Beverly Hills High. They have a glee club.
Okay.
And
is it all the boys singing?
This is primarily the boys. They have a boys' choir. They have a girls' choir. They have a combined. They were at the Shrine Auditorium for a competition.
And I'm sorry, where were they?
They were at the Shrine.
The Shrine Auditorium, downtown?
Yeah, downtown, for a singing competition. And they took the bus back with, I guess, probably a half a dozen adults had gone as chaperones. I know the music members of the music department were with them. So as they're coming back on the bus, Joshua and a couple of his buddies, and the kids are going to be kids, and these are high school kids. These are 15-year-old boys. They're rambunctious guys. And I guess Josh had not finished the lunch that Rosalie had packed him because Marcy's out of town. So we had we've got a lady that takes care of the house, you know.
Okay.
And so anyway, she packed him the lunch. And as he's coming back, I don't know whether it was because he tried to finish it. He told me he tried to finish it, but it was just not a very well-prepared lunch.
Now, this was a lunch that was prepared by Rosalie, who's like a domestic that you have?
Oh, yeah. And she's staying at the house. Marcy's gone. In any event, he didn't like it. And so he took it and threw, I think it was half of a sandwich of some kind or a pita sandwich. He threw it, and it hit one of the teachers. Now, here is what happened. And my question for you, and I guess my question for your audience, the people that are listening tonight, you know, is first of all, I don't want people to think that my son is an out-of-control kid because he's not. He's a great kid. But, you know, how much do you put up with other people disciplining your son in public? Now, what happened was he threw the sandwich. It hit this, I think it was one of the mothers of the kids.
So was that a teacher?
No, it was one of the chaperones. And she turned around and said to my son, this is my son, Joshua Bell. She said, "Pick it, excuse me, but pick it up." And Joshua said to her something probably not, you know, he shouldn't have said, but he said, you know, F you or something like that, and didn't do it. But here's my point about this.
Your son said F you?
Well, I think it was something like that. But I want to tell you, first of all, before you get me, let's just stop for a minute. Because I asked Joshua, what did you say to the lady? He said, "Dad, I said, you know, I probably said, I don't remember, but I probably said, you know, F you." I said, "Why?" He said, "Because, Dad, she told me to pick the food up." Now, as the son of a restaurant owner, this is going to sound probably something that's difficult for people to understand, Phil. But as the son of a restaurant owner, when you ask my son to pick food up off of a floor, the first thing that flashes into his mind is what he's seen guys do at my restaurant, which is mopping up a floor and picking crap up off of a floor. And that's what busboys do, and it's not something that my son, certainly it's not a self-image he has for himself, it's not anything we've taught him, there's nothing wrong with being that kind of a worker, but it was an insult. And so he said to her, F you. And the other thing, though, that I felt was more significant is...
Well, you know, the fact that the boy said F you is pretty strong.
Well, you got to understand something, and this is what I'm trying to emphasize. The woman told him to do something like pick it up. If she had said, for instance, excuse me, you hit me with that sandwich, or excuse me, you know, why did you hit me with that something? Joshua said to me, Dad, I would have been happy to apologize to her, and I was ready to apologize to her. But when she said to me, excuse me, pick that up, he said, that's when my defense mechanisms came up. So my question is, for your audience tonight, how much of other people disciplining your kid will you stand for? Because that was a situation where, yes, he's on the bus, yes, these are chaperones, but the chaperone, all she had to say was, don't throw the sandwich. I would have preferred if she would have just said, excuse me, you hit me, because if she's telling him don't throw the sandwich, that gets into telling my kid what to do, and while I understand the necessity...
Well, they're going to have to tell the kids what to do if they're in charge of their safety, right?
I know that, and telling them when to get off the bus, when to get on the bus. When you're saying to a kid, though, don't do that, you got to remember that this is the child of somebody else. And when you're saying to them, don't you do that, what you're doing is you recognize that you are now telling someone else's kid what to do, and it can get a little dicey, especially for the kid.
All right.
So I said to him, so you got angry and you said F you to the lady. And he said, I believe I did, Dad.
So he's not really come right out and said, I said F you, has he?
Well, there's still some questions whether he did or not. I mean, this woman, who was, Barcroft is her name, and although I don't want to use names.
I'd rather that you not, because these are, you know, the people, they become public.
All right, okay. This woman said, she claimed that Josh said, F you, mind your own business. I asked Josh, did you say that? He said, Dad, I cannot remember, but I swear that is something I wouldn't say. He's my son, so I believe him.
So she's making it up.
Or she misheard him. So there's two strikes against this woman already. She's proffering a rumor that probably isn't true, that my son told her to F it, or F you, or however he said it. And then the other is that she told him to pick food up off of a floor.
Well, all right. Let me interrupt you here. We're talking to Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills, and your question is, how often do you let other people...
Or do you ever let somebody else discipline your kid or tell your kid what to do?
All right, but your son was throwing food on the bus, which is not exactly what we call behavior that we encourage in kids.
No, but I mean, he's a 15-year-old kid. If you don't think that you're going to have a bus full of 15-year-old kids and their food isn't going to get thrown, you got to live in the real world.
You got to live in the real world, but you also have to discipline the kids. And nonetheless, all right.
Well, I'll discipline my son. Thank you very much.
Okay, fine. But then we have the food hitting somebody, and she directed him. This was not a teacher. This was just one of the parents.
Right.
And she directed him to pick the food up. That's what you're having a problem.
I have a problem with that. And I have the problem with the fact that she said that he said F it or F you or F you old something or other. I don't think he says he didn't. He says he can't remember, but he swears to God that he would never do that. I believe my son. I asked him, did you say anything like that? He said, I don't think so, Dad.
But he's not exactly being very clear, is he?
He's being clear enough. I said, did you tell that woman F it or F you? He said, not that, no.
Okay, well, did he use the F word?
Well, again, we're getting into an area that I'm uncomfortable with because now the whole focus is on my son and no one's talking about this woman that's telling my kid to go pick food up off the floor. The son of a restaurateur, the son of a man that owns a restaurant who has people picking food up off of the floor all the time, and these are not the most accomplished people in the world, and I love my employees, please don't get me wrong, but certainly my son wants a little something more for himself, and I can certainly understand that.
And all right, Ted, hang on, but it's good to have you with us tonight. Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills, his son was caught throwing food, I guess, on a bus, and some woman said, pick it up. And as far as Ted's concerned, that was she's going over the line there telling his son what to do. The son responded with, there's some conflict as to whether he said F you or F it or something to this woman. 877-876-PHIL is our number. It's the world famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-7445. We'll be right back on the Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
Great steak sandwiches. We've got the great salad bar. We've got, of course, one trip to the salad bar and order up some of those great appetizers. The shrimp salad is fantastic at Ted's of Beverly Hills.
All right, in the prime rib room. And you mentioned about having a famous group.
Well, we're going to have a band. I want to mention that later on. Yeah, very well-known band that we're hoping to have into the prime rib room.
All right, we're talking to Ted Bell here tonight, 877-876-7445, on his son, Joshua, on a school bus throwing food. And apparently someone said to him, pick it up.
Yeah, it was one of the parents.
And he responded with an F-U.
No, well, that's what we don't know. The parent claims he said something like, F you, you dirty old something or else, and it sounds way over...
You dirty old, huh?
Yeah, well, it sounds way over the top. It just doesn't sound like something my son would say. And I asked him, did you say that? And he said to me, Dad, I honestly don't remember, because he was in a little bit of a state of shock, being told to pick food up off of a floor that people had stepped on. And
so people had already walked over it?
That's my understanding.
All right, 877-876-7445. Here is Harry on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead, Harry.
Hey, I was just wondering, is it established that he did throw the food?
What about that, Ted?
Yes, he threw the food. He's 15, and 15-year-old boys throw food.
That's a kind of a given, but I mean, is it wrong for someone to tell him to pick up the food that he did throw?
No, I don't. If it was me, but what they could have said was, "You hit me with the food."
They
telling him to
that,
telling him to pick it up, like. Well, I mean, I just think directing him to pick it up is, you're telling my kid to pick up food off a floor, a boy whose father is a restaurateur. That's what I was trying to say.
I guess, Mr. Henry,
I don't know if.
I guess that makes sense. I guess my question is that, I mean, whose job is it to pick it up off the floor if it is not the person who put it there?
Well, they have people to clean the bus.
In other words, kids throw food.
Kids are going to throw food. Let me ask you a question. In a cafeteria, when the food is on the floor, you expect the kids to go down on their hands and knees and pick up slop that people have stepped on?
That's a cafeteria.
if the person, if the kid intentionally put it there when the whole point of the food was to eat it, and they've disobeyed some kind of rule.
Well, I mean, I don't know who this. This is a mother. This is someone else's. This is not a member of the administration.
What if it had been a teacher?
Well, it's, I don't. I think it would have been the same thing. I think you're stepping over the line when you tell my kid to get on his hands and knees and pick up a sandwich that someone might be stepping on.
Well, did somebody walk over this food?
I don't know, but it's very likely. If you've ever seen a sandwich after about five or six people have walked on it, it's nothing you want to go near. And the food
and
that was prepared for him.
Doesn't that teach the kid the lesson that you don't want to go near it, so maybe you shouldn't be throwing food in the first place?
No. No, I don't think it does. Next question. Because I don't know, this guy, is this the caller that you got here?
Yes.
Well, do you have kids, sir? I mean, you sound like you're giving me a test.
I'm just curious as to whether
or not I'm asking you, do you have kids? Because I've got kids. This is my kid. And this is what I do.
Don't, but I mean,
okay?
If any other
if you need parenting lessons sometime.
Let the man ask his questions, though.
Right, but I don't appreciate being grilled.
I'm not trying to grill you. I'm just curious. When I was younger, another adult disciplined me. My father asked me, the basis of the question was, did you do something wrong? And if my father wasn't there, but someone else was, the fact that I did something wrong was the primary question. And I should have been disciplined regardless of who was there.
That's great. I mean, that's a big, long thing you just told me about your childhood, which is great. I think it's very interesting. And, that's not how we do things at our house.
Well, your son, Ted...
But you heard what I said.
I heard what you said, but I'm just saying your son was on a bus with other people. You weren't there. He was not in your home. You were, these are other people charged with the care of these kids, okay?
Yeah, the chaperones.
Fine. Now the boy is throwing food, and I think it was a perfectly natural thing for her to say, pick it up.
Well, there's where you made your mistake. No, it is not perfectly natural to tell my kid to get on his hands and knees.
Nobody told him to get on his hands and knees. You know,
well, you don't really know what anybody said. All I'm trying to do is, look, I realize you guys mean well, but what I don't think you understand is, and the gentleman on the phone, I own a restaurant. You understand that, right? And because
I don't quite know it's relevant.
Relevant? You're telling the son of a guy that owns a restaurant to get down real close to the floor and get his nose right at it and pick it up.
Nobody said that. Why are you?
Because that's what is intended. You know,
wait a minute.
Is your profession relevant to a child's discipline?
Because of what I do for a living, my son has seen people scraping stuff up off of a floor. And it is a demeaning thing. So automatically my son believes that he is now being forced into a demeaning posture.
Because he threw some food. I mean, if food gets dropped...
Hold on for a minute, Phil. I haven't finished. So he's forced into a demeaning posture. Now, that's number one. Number two... When my son, who's the son of a restaurateur, is told to go pick up food, he hears it as, yeah, that's right, get down real close and get it, get your nose right in. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's what he's hearing.
Well, I don't understand that at all.
Well, that's why I say you guys are a little bit out of your element here.
Well, I don't think... All right, thank you very much, Harry, for your call. 877-876-PHIL. I don't know how I'm out of my element when I'm asking a question.
Because you're not a parent, currently a parent, Phil.
But I've had kids, and I've had children drop food. And
didn't you tell me once that underneath your table at home, you guys had put an old piece of carpeting because why? Because you knew that kids drop food, and you would rather have that old piece of carpeting there to clean later rather than a good carpet. Didn't you tell me that when they were really young?
Yeah, but that's when they're dropping food, not throwing it. In other words, if they...
I don't think that's relevant. I think kids are going to drop food. Food's going to leave the hand of a kid, whether the food goes out of his hand at a rapidly or slowly.
And I don't understand that.
What I'm saying, you don't understand what I just said?
No, I don't.
Food leaves the hand of a kid, whether the food left his hand fast because his hand was moving forward, or...
In other words, he was throwing it.
I'm going to start all over again because you interrupted me. I said, food leaves a kid...
Okay, so now we have to take a break.
Well, Phil, food leaves a kid's hand. Food hits floor food must be picked up. But when my son, the son of a restaurateur, hears someone say, go pick it up, what he's hearing is, yeah, yeah, get down real close. Get your nose in it. Yeah. That's what he's hearing.
Because that's the way you talk to your help?
I didn't say that. But that's what my son hears.
All right, hold on. 877-876-7445. The world-famous Phil Henry Show, as we talk about children and whether or not you, as a stranger, can discipline somebody else's kid or vice versa.
Phil Henry.
Music up. God
damn it. Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse. Come on down.
And it's Ted from Ted's of Beverly Hills reminding you this is our big sports hockey playoff. I've already said that one. Give me the other script. Come on down this weekend. Bring your grandma to Valley.
Well, you can say it again.
I already talked about the hockey weekend. I didn't want to mention that again. What I wanted to mention to people is it's a great place to bring your mom or your grandmother to enjoy a day off. You know, I know that Mother's Day is still a ways off, but Ted's a great place to come.
Ted Bell is with us here as we continue talking. I know you wanted to mention that.
We have the hope, and I don't know if it's going to happen, but we've got the hope. That we will have the very prominent 80s band Soft Cell in the Prime Rib Room 2 weeks from tonight. So I don't want to make any preliminary announcements, but
have you been in touch with their management?
That's something I just. I would like to have them in the Prime Rib Room because it's a band, it's a group that's very meaningful to myself and Marcy, my wife. So we'll be talking about that.
All right. Well, but what we are talking about is your son Joshua coming back from a field trip with his choir, the high school choir that he's in, threw a sandwich that apparently hit one of the chaperones, and she asked him to pick it up, and that was, in your opinion, stepping over the line.
Because I've got nothing against saying, you hit me with a sandwich. I've got nothing against someone turning around and saying, please don't throw the sandwich. Although I would, you know, prefer that they not talk in a harsh way. Because, look, Phil, I'm not one of these parents that needs to have my son mollycoddled. I just want some respect. The food that he threw, you have to understand, his mother's out of town. It was made by a lady that's here that's helping out. So it wasn't very good. And
this is someone that is a domestic.
Yes, and she made food that was not what my son wanted, so he picked it up and he threw it. And then they told him to go and clean it up, and that's where everything fell apart. And apparently this woman, and then they got to turn around and say that my son said, F you dirty old something or other, which he said to me, Dad, I can't even, he didn't even want to talk about it. He felt it was so outrageous. So,
all right, 877-876-PHIL is the number as we talk about, you know, disciplining other people's kids. Here's Steve on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead, Steve.
Hello, Phil. How you doing?
Fine.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Can you hear me? Okay. Hey, I didn't get to hear the beginning of the show very well, but this kid's problem is the guy you're interviewing, his dad. You know, I'll tell you what, if the kid was around me and I see him throw something, I wouldn't be asking to pick it up. He'd be picking it up. And if his dad was around, his dad would be picking it up. His dad needs to teach the kid how to...
Let me explain how life works. Let me explain how life works to you, okay? You put your hands on my kid or me. You put your hands on me or my kid, and you're sued, and everything you earn until you die, I get a piece of. Is that what you want?
You know what?
Is that what you want? Is that what you want?
My hand
is that what
on
you want?
Your kid and you at the same
and that's,
time.
That means you're stupid. That means that your children and your children's children will be paying me until the day they die after I get done suing you. Are you that stupid? Are you that stupid? Are you that stupid? Are you that stupid? If you put your hand on me or my kid, I would file a civil action, and you and your kids would be working for me and my kids. Are you that dumb? That's my question.
I don't think you have the nerve to do it in the first place.
I got the lawyers, the nerve, I got everything that I need. Now, are you that? I'm asking you a question. Are you that stupid? Are you that stupid? Are you that?
All right, Steve, thanks for your call. Steve, he asked you a good question, and you're refusing to answer it.
I will put my hand on him. No, he.
All right, so you will. So you don't mind being sued, which would happen, a civil action.
I'm not afraid of him suing.
And then you would. And he would sue you, and they would, and they probably would find in his favor because you grabbed his kid. So are you willing to have all that happen?
I'm going to tell you something, Phil.
All right. See you later. 8778. What a moron. God almighty. Here is Nancy. Go ahead, Nancy. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
You said it, Phil.
Okay.
One of the rare times I agree with you.
My comment about this whole thing is this kid threw a sandwich intentionally.
Nobody puts their hand on my kid.
I get it already.
He hit a woman, and the woman still politely turned around and said, "Excuse me, pick that up." And this man was beyond rude, and said, "F you." And the problem is that the restaurateur, the man's father, is trying to make it seem like it's a demeaning thing, and it's a demeaning thing to his son when it's not. And his son was
not being disciplined at all.
The woman simply asked him to pick
And we don't know if he said F you or not.
That's what she said, but we don't know it. Means when someone tells your son, no, you cannot sing in glee anymore because you threw a sandwich. That's being disciplined. The woman simply asked him to pick something that he
doesn't have the right to tell my kid to pick anything up.
That is completely wrong.
You can't tell my kid to get on his hands and knees.
Yes, I am a parent.
Hold on. Okay, I put Ted on hold. I can't take it. I cannot take it. I'm telling you, I can't take it. I'm going to lose it. Right now, right here, on the air, I'm going to lose it. I can't stand it anymore. I can't stand dumb. Now, I realize I'm dumb, but God almighty, I can't stand stupid people. I can't stand motor mouths. I do a talk show, and I put up with as much of it as I can. It's the worst format in radio, talk radio, the worst. It's a fantastic way to, you know, show the foibles of people, but I can't take it. We're going to have to break early. Get ready to break. Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
I just had a little bit of a moment there where I was going to flip my lid, that's all.
You're going to have to get it. You talk about getting it together.
I'm fine now, okay?
What's the problem?
Between you guys, that last lady and you talking over each other, and that other moron that you were talking to, I don't know.
Boy, you really got to pull it together, okay? Let me tell you something, Phil, because I've been in business for a long time.
Here we go. So we're going to get off point, huh?
Here we go? Yeah, here we go. Let me tell you, you asked me about whether or not, you know, I got to tell you, I don't like anybody telling my kid to get down there and get their face right in it and pick up the garbage on the floor. That's number one. Number two, okay, number two, being in business means sometimes you have disappointments. And sometimes you just got to roll with the punches. Now, whatever happened to you there, go ahead, you can tell me.
I can't even go into it, man. I can't even go into it. I can't go into it.
What the hell's going on with you? What's going on with you? Are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Well, what's going on with you?
It's nothing to talk about on the air, man.
Nothing to talk about on the air. Well, but you sure did have a moment there on the air, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. I did. You're right. I had a moment there on the air, and it's passed, and now we're back to, doing whatever we got to do here to survive, do our radio show.
Doing whatever you got to do. Well, first of all, this is the Ted Bell Hour on a Friday night on your radio show, so, you know, I do expect some service for a little bang for my buck, you know what I mean? And
you're getting bang for your buck. You're the sponsor of the show's hour, and you're here, and you're talking about what you want to talk about, which was your son throwing a sandwich.
Yeah, my son threw a sandwich. Look, let me just say this, okay? I'm going to tell you a story since you broke early.
Since I broke early?
Yes, you did. There are not too many bands in the history of music that I like, but one of those groups that I really enjoyed a lot was a group called Soft Cell. Do you remember that group?
I do, yes.
All right. They had, I'm going to, if we could, because Bud Dickman had it queued up ready to be played on the program, if I asked for it. Buddy, have you got it?
Well, yeah, I've got a little bit, but I don't know.
What did he say?
Have you got it?
Yeah, I got it queued.
All right, go ahead and play it. This is the song. Okay, you know this song, Phil?
I've heard it, yeah.
Right, this song is called Tainted Love by Soft Cell. Now, I was very hopeful that I could have them in person here in the prime rib at Red Hot. I've got two. Okay, you know that song, right?
Yes, I do.
I can't hear you.
Well, turn the music down, Bud, so he can hear me. Yes, I do.
All right, you hear it. The song's called Tainted Love. The other hit that they had... All right, Bud, tell him to kill it.
Kill it, Bud.
All right, the other hit they had was a song called Sex Dwarf. There are only two songs, really, in the history of my life in listening to popular music as I was coming up as a young person that have real significance to the point where I can't even talk about it. And so that's why I almost relate to what you were just going through, where you couldn't even talk about it.
Okay.
And those songs are Tainted Love and Sex Dwarf. Because they both immediately, the titles immediately have impact. They are significant to my life.
The titles?
Yes, the titles. And don't hyper-focus on the title. No, I didn't have sex with a dwarf, okay? What? Okay, is he laughing?
Get out of here, Bud.
Yeah, I knew he would. I want to be taken seriously.
Okay, you're going to be taken seriously, but one minute we were talking about your son.
Yes, and now we're talking about Soft Cell because I wanted to make a point given what was you were going through. So I wanted to have Soft Cell here in the prime rib room. Are they going to be here in the prime rib room? I don't know. Will we be able to get them? I don't know. But I will tell you that Sex Dwarf and Tainted Love have, when I hear those songs, they have deep meaning for me, for my family, for my business, and frankly, Phil, the fact that I'm actually walking around upright and breathing the air right now.
Sex Dwarf and Tainted Love by Soft Cell.
Yes. Tainted Love. If that song isn't about a sexually transmitted disease, then I can tell you right now that I'm not a human being. I'm not a three-dimensional creature. And when that song came out, I did something that my father told me not to do. He said, don't go down to Mexico, son. Don't do it. Don't go to Mexico. I didn't go down there and have sex with a woman there. I took a girl with me. I returned with a raging, white-hot case of syphilis. And that song was playing as I drove up the freeway. Number two, Sex Dwarf. That song I heard on the radio for the first time the day that Deandra dumped me.
This is your high school?
This was my college sweetheart.
Sex Dwarf, okay.
Yeah. Because when that song Sex Dwarf came out, that's exactly what I saw when I looked in the mirror, a sex dwarf. Because she dumped, you know, she dumped me. So there have been times, Phil, when I have been tongue-tied. There have been times when I have felt alone. There have been times when I was at my lowest and I didn't want to say anything or do anything, but I had to push through it. When you come back from Mexico after your father said, "Don't do it, son. Don't go down to Mexico." And you know that song, "Hey Joe, where you going with a gun in your hand?" You know, I'm going down to Mexico because I just shot my girlfriend. It's got nothing to do with what happened to me, but it's a
yeah, okay. So you went to Mexico. You came back with a case of VD that you got from the girl that you went down there with?
Yeah, with spring break.
Okay.
But what do you mean, okay?
And then you look in the mirror one day. I don't understand this whole thing about...
When Deandra dumped me was the first time I heard Sex Dwarf.
All right, and you looked in the mirror, and that's what was staring back at you?
Yes.
A sex dwarf.
Yes. God, you know, it's one thing to be humiliated like that. It's another thing to have to explain it. In other words, what you're doing is you're not understanding the story, so you're forcing me to explain it, and you're forcing me to live the humiliation even deeper and richer, if you can describe it that way. The humiliation of that is literally, it's become a rich and fully meaningful thing talking to you about it. And that's one thing you don't ever want to have become rich and meaningful, looking at yourself in a mirror and seeing a sex dwarf.
Ted.
What?
Now you're acting like me.
Well, of course.
Mr. Bell, you want the phone?
I'll give it to me, wait. Thank you.
I said you dropped the phone.
I know I dropped the phone. I dropped it on purpose.
Well, now you sound like me.
Well, yeah, I sound like you, but that gives you an idea of the depth of my angst and the depth of my depression. You see? So we have to push on. We must go on. As John Hurt said in Alien, we have to go on. We must go on. You remember when he said that?
In Alien, I
John Hurt.
The only thing I remember about John Hurt in Alien is when the thing came out of his stomach.
Well, that's before the thing came out of his stomach. It's why the thing came out of his stomach. When he said, "We have to go on, we must go on," remember?
No, I don't. I'm sorry, Ted.
Well, all right. They were looking. They were on the planet, and they were looking, and he said, "We must go on." That's when the thing attached itself to his face, and the next thing you know, he was giving birth to an alien baby through the lining of his stomach.
So one could say that "we have to go on, we must go on" was a bad thing.
In the case of John Hurt, in a movie called Alien. God. I mean, the theory of "you have to go on," yes, yes, Bill, if we push on, we may give birth to an alien coming out of our stomach. But guess what?
You're dead, then.
Well, you know...
You know, this whole conversation's a little screwball, right?
Well, no, it's not, because it started with you all depressed and you wanted to go to a break. And
I know that, and we could have come back and continued, but you wanted to tell me the story about Sex Dwarf and Tainted Love.
No, I didn't. I wanted to tell you that we were going to have Soft Cell in the Prime Rib Room. I hope, which probably we won't now, because if anybody records this and sends it to the band, they wouldn't want to come near me if I was gold-plated. Stay away from me like I've got leprosy. Now...
Ted, I highly doubt whether a group like that would play your lounge at your steakhouse.
Oh, so now we get down to it. In other words, playing the lounge of Ted's of Beverly Hills is not good enough.
All right, no, I didn't say that. All right, I didn't say that. I'm going to get Margaret Gray on the line here because she's just called in. Ted, she's a friend of yours. I mean, you know, if you don't want to talk to her.
No, I don't.
Margaret, how you doing?
Fine. Ted, I think you're overreacting a little bit. I think what Phil was saying was that he's having a difficult night, but I don't think that you need to bring up this whether or not Soft Cell is going to play your bar or not. I think Phil is right. I don't think you should expect that Softcell is going to say yes to playing your lounge.
Wait. I'm Ted Bell. You know who I am, right?
Oh, God, Ted, of course we know who you are.
All right, I'm Ted Bell. Now, I said to the kid that had these connections, he was some punk that I was talking to over at the radio station there.
Over at K-Rock.
Yeah.
Who were you talking to?
I don't know. I said I want to get this group to play in my lounge because they were one of my favorite groups.
Well, I don't know that Softcell is going to play in your lounge because they're more of an arena band.
Yeah, well, I didn't understand what you said.
What did he say?
Say it again, Margaret.
I said I don't know that Softcell is going to play your lounge because they're an arena band.
Their urethra. What happened to their urethra?
No, an arena band.
All I'm hearing is urethra band. As if...
All right.
I called up to try to straighten this out.
You know, there's nothing to straighten out, all right? There's nothing to straighten out. I was trying to straighten Henry out, which is impossible to do.
I have to break. We're going to the top of the hour. I appreciate both of you being with me. World famous Phil Henry Show.
Talking about a urethra band, I don't know what you...
Well, you're talking about VD.
Yes, for a reason.
Phil Henry.
Phil Henry Show, every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch on this show, and so it is that I should say to you, I apologize, ladies and gentlemen, for my... I didn't lose my temper or anything. I didn't say four-letter words. I just, for that momentary... it was just a moment of I was... I can't describe it. I just felt like I didn't have control over anything. I felt frozen, like I had no control over anything. It was quite a remarkable feeling. I went with it, as they say in the trade, you know, as we say in the entertainment business, go with it. You know, well, I went with it, and as a result of going with it, of course, I had to listen to Ted Bell for 15 minutes telling me about his identity crisis over Softcell's Sex Dwarf song. I don't understand, but I'm happy to be back with you. This hour should be interesting because Shoal Heller is going to be back with us. He was on with us last night talking about 420 and the demonstrations of the pro-legalization demonstrations that were to take place today. He's going to be with us this hour to talk about the George Zimmerman case. Mr. Heller is a writer for the magazine Inter, which is a German newspaper, a magazine, rather, I should say. And he is here in the United States on assignment, has been living here as one of their feature writers out of their West Coast Bureau, and he joins us tonight. Shoal, thanks for being back with us.
Hey, always a pleasure, Phil, to kick it around with you. I'm very happy to.
Okay, you're covering the Zimmerman trial, too, right?
Yes, I have to get on a plane. I'm going to go to whenever the trial starts. I have to go to Central Florida sometime, probably, I don't know, maybe in the next week or so. But I don't anticipate anything's going to get cranked up over there for quite some time, because obviously there's quite a bit that's still going on.
Well, I the fact that he is trying to raise the bail money, he has been granted bail.
Yeah, he was granted bail today by the judge who said that he's not a flight risk, you know. But the most stunning thing, I think, that came from the court proceedings of this guy Zimmerman, and it stunned everybody, was the fact that here's a family that lost their son, and this guy is possibly criminally responsible. We don't know. You know, he could be shown to be innocent, you know, of these charges. But when this guy in the courtroom today got into the witness stand as they were having a hearing on whether to set bail or not, and he sits up there and apologizes to this family, and I got to tell you something, it was just it was one of those moments where you
you get angry even though I'm a reporter, you know. I'm supposed to be I'm supposed to be objective, but you know, I got so angry listening to this. And
you got angry at him, huh?
Oh, yeah, you got angry at him. You got angry on behalf of the family because the family is believed, you know. They lost their son. They've lost this boy and this man who is saying, you know, I'm so sorry, you know, for what I've done. Boy, you're talking about the wrong place, the wrong time.
So you're saying that the apology offered by him was offensive?
Well, yeah, it was offensive. I mean, look, you know, you're a little bit removed from what's going on in Central Florida, Phil, but I'm going to tell you something. You bet. If you think about it, that...
Well, I mean, it's hard for me you're right, to put myself in anybody's shoes. I suppose it was well-meaning.
Well, there's an old saying, you know, and that was one of my colleagues said that to me today. He said, yeah, but, you know, this guy, is at least he's trying to do the right thing. I said, hey, let me tell you an old saying of the road to hell, you know, being paved with good intentions.
Well, that's true.
Yeah, I couldn't believe it. Everybody in the courtroom was absolutely stunned to listen to this guy. You know, after everything that has gone on, to listen to this guy say, I'm sorry. And I think mostly the attorney for the family, forgive me, Phil, Crump, Benjamin Crump was the attorney for the family, the Martin family, says this is the most self-serving apology that he has ever heard, and I have to agree with that. It was offensive. It was offensive to hear, and it's surprising for me to listen to you say, "Well, you know, you're not."
Well, I'm not close to the case. Let me just say this, okay? I have followed the case as closely as I can, and while I'm a huge Obviously, I'm a huge fan of American justice and our Constitution and the trial and the court system and our system of evidentiary hearing and the weighing of evidence and the jury system and you know, I also understand there's going to be a public opinion, and I'm not a guy that, you know, shuts that down. I think people should be allowed to express their opinions.
But what is your, if you want me to ask, you know, for a moment, let me be the interviewer, what is your opinion?
My opinion is that this man acted in a criminally negligent fashion. I don't know to what degree. They've charged him with second-degree murder. I believe that that's probably proper. It could be something less. It could be manslaughter. We have to find out. We have to know what the evidence is. I think...
All right, okay, so you would be in favor of manslaughter?
I think that if that's what the evidence showed...
See, that's what we're trying to say, and I wish that you would listen to me and people would listen to me, because this is offensive to this family to listen to you, and you have to understand when this man...
What is offensive to the family about that?
You don't understand. This man already got into the stand today. He said, I'm sorry. I didn't know. I thought he was younger than me. I didn't know how young he was. All of this was the most offensive and outrageous stupidity that it tested my ability to be an objective reporter, because I've worked, Phil, listen, I've been in war zones. I've worked in war zones. I've worked in some of the most violent places that you could well imagine, and I've worked them with myself. I've worked them with my camera people, with other people, and I've always had to stay objective to what I'm seeing. Even when I was covering the war in Iraq, which my instinct was America was criminal in its invasion of Iraq, but I did not let that color my reporting. I was objective. But here, in this case, with this Zimmerman, it's very hard for me to stay objective.
Well, then maybe you ought to not be on the case, you know.
No, Phil, you know.
No, I mean, I'm telling you right now, Shoal, if you can't be objective, if you got a very strong opinion, you know.
No, I let me tell you something. I've won awards. I'm a top senior writer at Inter. I'm the best writer they've got, the best criminal writer they've got. No. I don't know what you think. What are you saying? Are you saying?
What I'm saying is, if you feel you can't stay objective on this one, and that's what your job calls for, unless you're doing a feature or a commentary, then you should pull out of this case or pull out of this story. Because let me tell you, I think that what I just said to you was that I believe there was some criminal negligence on the part of this guy Zimmerman. Now, to what extent?
That's the part that worries me, you know.
Well, you're saying to me that I've got to say what?
You should say that this was murder and that second-degree murder. Well, we'll wait and we'll see what the trial is going to say, that this murder, which is what we believe it to be, is murder, and second-degree murder perhaps, but most likely much more stringent charge of murder. But for you to say, oh, I think I can say, this man sat in this witness stand today, and he said, I'm sorry, I'm this or that. I wanted to vomit.
When you heard this man, however wrongheaded, say, I'm sorry, you felt it was...
I felt what the attorney said, what Benjamin Combs said, the most self-serving, disingenuous... I wanted to vomit. I wanted to throw up. That's what I wanted to do when I heard this man.
All right. We have a difference of opinion here.
Well, I'm a little bit surprised, to be honest with you, for you to say...
Well, you know, no, Joel, you know, look, man, I don't think what I've said here is all that weird. I think I said, look, man, I agree.
Well, a lot of people agree that George Zimmerman is wrong, but most of us will say it's murder. And for you...
Well, I'm not there right now saying it's murder. I'm saying there's criminal negligence of some kind. There was a criminal act. That's my opinion. I'm not on the jury. I'm not a judge. Neither are you. So I don't know how you can say what you're, you know, get so... to be honest with you, it sounds a little self-righteous.
No, it's not self-righteous. I don't know, my friend. It's just wanting to see justice, you know.
Well, you know, you're kind of coming off like, oh, you know, it's murder and it made me want to vomit.
It did. If you were there, you would have vomited yourself. I swear to God, you would have vomited yourself to listen to this self-serving man with his apology.
All right, with me, Joel Heller, always an interesting time with him from the magazine Inter in Germany. Our number 87, he's here in the United States and is going to be covering the entire Zimmerman and Trayvon Martin story to the extent that whenever it becomes a trial, he'll be there. 877-876-7445, 877-876. If you want to weigh in, I'm going to continue talking here to Joel. About this case and the latest story, which is that George Zimmerman offered an apology to Trayvon Martin's parents today. And it was not well received. It was not well received by the parents. It was not well received by the attorney for the parents. It was considered, as you just heard Joel say, self-serving. 877-876-7445. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back on the Phil Hendry Show with Joel Heller from Inter Magazine in Germany, who's here in the United States. He's going to be covering the George Zimmerman trial. Now, George Zimmerman apologized to Trayvon Martin's parents today, and you're saying it made you want to throw up.
Oh, absolutely. And
well, tell me in specific terms, other than it being self-serving.
Well, that's the whole reason. This guy was on the stand trying to make bail, and he had a bail, I think, set of $150,000. And he comes in wearing his Sunday best, you know, has got his shirt and his tie and whatever else he wears. So now is this man, and he says to them, I want to apologize. And the reporter said to him, why have you not said so before? He said, because I was told not to speak to them. So why then is he talking now? Well, he's talking now because George Zimmerman wants her to get out of jail. Before, he didn't say anything because there was nothing to gain.
Well, he said that he was told not to say anything.
So if he was told not to say anything, was all of a sudden he was told now he should say something. Is that it? I don't think so. I think he made the decision. We know that this guy, Phil, look, you know this guy's got a history of going his own way. His attorneys quit a few days before they charged him formally because he had gone his own way. He was talking to the media. He had called the prosecutor. First of all, the problem with George Zimmerman is he is not familiar with the judicial process. To contact the prosecutors is only to play into the prosecutor's hands. All they want to do is to convict you. So he's being stupid. And I would not be surprised if he's still being stupid. That his attorneys probably said to him, don't say anything to anybody, and yet now he's speaking to them.
What was the response or what was the reaction of the parents?
They were not impressed, let me put it that way. They were not buying it, as you say, you know. I told you what their attorney said. He said that this was self-serving. And, of course, now you ask yourself, what is he apologizing for? If he did not do anything wrong, what is he apologizing for?
Well, that's why I say I think that in some way there's a criminal act of some kind that took place. All right, 877-876-PHIL is our number. Here is Brian. Go ahead, Brian. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hi, Phil. I think your reporter guy is a little bit off, and even you. Well, no one, like you said, no one knows what really happened. But at the same time, man, if you're getting your head bashed in, or even if you think you're about to get your ass killed, you have a right to defend yourself. I mean, no matter what country or whatever cause you're in. He said, the reporter guy from Germany there said that he
George Zimmerman felt that he was getting so beat up so bad he had to pull a gun and he had to shoot a man who was unarmed. Is that what you're saying to me? So in other words, you have to use deadly force against a man with no... The guy's got no weapon.
All right, look, I've had enough of this tonight. I've got people talking over each other. I'm gonna hang up on people.
Sorry, Phil.
Quit talking over... not you, sir. You, Shoal, started screaming at this guy.
Well, I want to know what his line of thinking is when he says to me that his life was in jeopardy.
All right, well, let's talk about that for a minute. Hey, Brian, whatever you're doing, stop doing it and listen to me, okay?
I'm sorry, bro. I'm at work.
Okay, whatever you're doing there. Okay. All right, let's talk about this. A guy is unarmed. Now, we know they were in close physical proximity. So it isn't like, sometimes a cop will shoot a guy who's unarmed from 100, from several feet, 50 feet, 75 feet. Pulling the gun out and killing this guy was the best thing to do in that instant because you believe him to when he says his head was getting bashed in. Now, bashed in means that you've got a concussion or you're going to go to the hospital. This guy didn't spend one night in the hospital.
If you go to ABC News, they've published the pictures today of the guy's the back of his head. It's like, oh.
I understand, but he didn't spend one night in the hospital. He wasn't even treated for a concussion. He wasn't treated for a fractured skull. He wasn't even in for... what do you mean his head was bashed in? If you don't even spend a night in the hospital, how could your head almost be bashed in?
That's a good point.
Well, I'm just saying,
listen,
that's just what the picture shows.
No
one really knows what happened except the people, the poor kid that's dead and the douchebag. I don't think he should have been following the kid in the first place. I think it all ends up being Zimmerman's fault in the first place, but I don't think they should charge him with first degree or second degree murder. I think it should be more something like a lesser charge, like a manslaughter or something like that, because it's wrong if the kid's dead.
You said you disagreed with me. That's what I was saying. You said you disagreed with me. I said I think some kind of a criminal act took place. I just don't know.
Well, both of you guys are wrong because this was murder. And Phil, you're on the right track there until you just back off and you say, oh, well, like this guy here, it's manslaughter. You made a good point. This guy Zimmerman is a liar. And if they catch him in this lie, that to me is murder. Because now he's doing something to cover his tracks. He's saying, he bashed my head in. Well, you said he was
not really covering his tracks.
I don't know.
The pictures released of the dude's head.
I don't know whether the guy's head was being bashed in. That's the tough one for me to swallow if a guy hasn't spent the night in a hospital. If there wasn't any evidence of... His head wasn't even... Look at. You've been around a guy who's had his head skull fractured. You get your head wrapped with a bandage. It goes around and around. And if you've almost... If you had a concussion, obviously they're going to want to monitor you overnight. But head bashed in means head bashed in. And I didn't see that. All right. Thanks for your call, sir. 877-876-PHIL, world famous Phil Hendry Show. As we continue talking about this, you know, that's the only thing that I, that's why I say that maybe something criminal happened, you know.
Well, I don't think that you give enough, I don't think you give enough consideration to the evidence. If you believe what you say, and you say that, well, this guy may not have had his head bashed in, and maybe it was just a cut or bruise or what have you, then you have to come to a conclusion that this was a man who's lying. And that's why if I say that he's lying, then I say it's murder.
And boy, you really like that word, I'll tell you.
What word do I like?
Well, you like that word murder. You know.
What do you think if this man's lying?
If he's lying, look, I don't even think he could be lying so much as he was just frightened. He could say, I was getting my head bashed in. The dude's got your head. And the dude bounced your head off the cement a few times. I don't know. I'm getting my head bashed in. What I looked at the aftermath there was a guy who did not have his head bashed in, is all I'm saying. But to call him a liar...
I think he's a liar, but I'm going to be objective in reporting the story because that's what my job is, you know?
You're going to be objective in reporting the story, but you're already telling me you think the guy's a liar.
I think he's a murderer.
But you're going to be objective.
I have to be. I have to be I can't have an opinion?
Yeah, you can have an opinion. I just know how you keep it out of the story. All right, we'll be back. World famous Phil Hendry Show. George Zimmerman made bail. Well, he's been granted bail. Whether he's going to get out or not, I don't know, because he's got to raise the money. And he apologized to Trayvon Martin's parents, and they did not like the apology. They didn't think it was sincere. 877-876-7445, Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
I didn't. We can talk about it. Welcome back. Here, the world famous Phil Hendry Show. On the line with me is Scholl Heller from Inter Magazine in Germany, and he's in the United States right now, about to cover the rest of the George Zimmerman case. I know you were here in Los Angeles for some awards banquet of some kind. Scholl, where were you?
Oh no, I was at the W Hotel for your radio summit, interviewing some of. The principal's there, but we're going back to Florida probably in a couple of weeks or so.
All right, George Zimmerman today apologized to the Martins, the parents, and they considered it to be disingenuous. They didn't like it. The attorney didn't like it. And right now, we're talking about the relative guilt or innocence of George Zimmerman. I just think it's a ridiculous conversation to have.
Well, but you said yourself that you don't mind if people have opinions.
No, I don't mind if people have opinions. You're right. But when it gets to the point of, well, here's what happened, people, like the last gentleman, he was a nice guy, but he said, you know, we can't tell what happened, but here's what I think happened. You know, your head's getting bashed in. Well, how do we know his head was getting bashed in?
Exactly. That is my point, exactly. And and I think that the whole story comes out, you're going to find that, I don't know what happened, but I think you're going to find that Zimmerman is a liar and committed murder.
Well, you sure do go to the, you go to the extreme here, though. And
what extreme do I go to?
He's a liar and he committed murder. 877-876-7445. Let's go to a phone call here. We have Joe on the line. Hello, Joe. You're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead.
Yes, I was just calling to make a comment that
I work
security at night at the hotel I work at. And I see sometimes drug deals go on, prostitutes come up, they pull up, and they go meet their johns in the rooms. And, you know, all I do is I observe and report. I've seen cars being broken into. I am unarmed. I will not go and try to accost the suspect. I will call the police. This guy, I understand he wanted to play cop, and he was told to back off. He called dispatch, and he did not do that. He tried to approach the Trayvon, and if he got his head bashed in, he made the wrong move, and he should be guilty for killing the guy. Although, what if it was Trayvon that had killed George Zimmerman, and he made an apology to George Zimmerman's family? You know, using cases like that, you could say, oh, well, he had a bad life, poor guy. You know, he's had a rough life, and they'll try to make it look real, real good for Trayvon.
But so how would they have reacted? Say something, Phil.
Go ahead.
Let me say this, sir. You made a good point, but then you sort of messed it up, I think, because, look, if Trayvon Martin had killed George Zimmerman, and Trayvon Martin does not have a gun, and George Zimmerman does have a gun, oh, my God, that would prove that he was really a self-defense. If you kill a man who has a weapon and you do not, and you kill a man, you see what I mean?
Not necessarily, because if George Zimmerman's a neighborhood watch captain and this kid is just walking and he kills that guy, people are going to think, oh, wow, what a thug. He killed a man trying to. The hell was that?
It was not me.
Okay, he killed a man who was trying to protect the neighborhood. But look, you know, you guys, we're talking about a bunch of stuff out of our rear ends here. How do we know, let me ask you a question here. How do we know that Trayvon Martin wasn't defending himself?
That's right.
Why do we think, why are we saying that it was Zimmerman defending himself? How do we know that it wasn't Trayvon Martin defending? Everything we do know, everybody likes to talk about what happened. And they don't know their ass from a hole in the ground. But here's what we do know. Everything that we do know, from the tape to this guy Zimmerman following, we know this guy was following the kid. This guy was on the kid's ass. This guy was told to back off, and he didn't. This guy confronted he got out of his truck. He wants me to believe he turned his back on the very kid that he'd been following. And all of a sudden, he's turning his back, and he turns around. Oh, my goodness gracious. Look who's there.
You got it, Phil. And I think what he did was, I want you to know that's not me. It sounds as if somebody's threw a phone on the freeway.
Don't worry about it. Joe, thanks very much for your call. I appreciate it, okay? All right, buddy. 877-876-PHIL. Go ahead.
He wants people to believe that he was driving in his truck very innocently. And the next thing you know, he got out of his truck maybe to what? To take a leak or to...
No, he said he got out of the truck to look at a street sign.
Yeah, sure. He got out of to look at a street sign. How do we know? You know, we don't know. We don't know. And a guy says to me one day, and I'll never forget this guy, he says to me one day, I saw a movie, and he said, I saw a movie on late night TV. It's called Scream and Scream Yet Again, if you know this movie. And he says this guy in the movie sucked the blood out of this girl's wrist, and it turns out this guy is made up, but he's like Frankenstein, Well, look, am I supposed to believe that? No, of course I don't believe that.
What are you talking about? There's a movie. What has that got to do with what we're saying?
What it has to do with what we're saying, my friend, is this. Because people are going to tell you some story, you don't have to believe it.
Okay. So your friend was telling you about a movie that you thought was real.
No. I didn't think it was real. I said, he told me a story about a composite who sucked the blood from a woman's wrist. You know what I mean by a composite?
No, I don't know what you mean by a composite.
A composite is a being that is created from the parts of another living thing. If you want to say...
Like Frankenstein?
Yes, like a Frankenstein, only this was a modern era. You wouldn't call it Frankenstein, you say it's a composite.
Okay, great. So get me up to speed on Trayvon Martin.
Well, no, I'm simply saying George Zimmerman wants me to believe a story about what happened that night. My friend wanted me to know the plot of a movie that he had seen of a composite that had sucked the blood from a woman. You see?
No, I don't see.
Wow, what am I doing wrong here?
Well, first of all, why don't you just drop the story about the movie?
No, because it's germane to what I'm saying.
Well, what's the point here then, man? What are you saying?
You want me to start again?
No, I don't want you to start again. I don't understand what you're talking about. I understand...
You know that George Zimmerman wants me to believe.
A story like your friend wanted you to believe.
No! No!
Okay, then I'm lost.
Okay, let me start again.
No, don't start again, man, because there's no point. I don't understand.
My friend was trying to get me to believe a story of a man who was a composite. Okay, my friend? A composite, of course, is a being that is created from the discarded parts of a dead human. Much like Frankenstein, but only a more modern era. And it was sucking the blood from a woman's wrist. My friend wanted me to know about the movie. He didn't want me to believe it was true.
Then what's it got to do with George Zimmerman?
Here's what it has to do with George Zimmerman. What George Zimmerman's story is like the plot of that movie. But when George Zimmerman tells me of what happened to him, he does want me to believe it. You see?
Oh, my God, that was about the stupid... I'm sorry, Shoal, I've known you for a long time.
Well, Phil, you know, look, you're not the... I'm going to say this, and I say this because I love you, too, but you're not the brightest bulb on the tree, either.
All right, you know what? I won't argue with you there.
You know what I'm saying?
No, I won't argue with you there. I'm not the brightest bulb on the tree, but I will tell you this much. Because of what I do for a living, I've been doing this for a while, I listen to people and what they say, and I'm telling you, man, that was the toughest thing for me to put together.
The story of the composite.
Well, for a composite, I don't know what that is. When you use that term...
It is well known in... Maybe it's because it's well known in Germany. I don't know. Maybe because of the legend of Frankenstein, which no one believes, but the legend of Frankenstein, maybe they believe the composite story in Germany.
And so you guys in Germany can rap to each other about composites, and you guys all know what that means.
Well, what do you mean, you guys? There's a certain segment of society that's conversant with composites and this kind of thing, yeah.
In Germany?
In Germany, yeah. But not in, obviously not in America.
No, not in America. I would not make that assumption if I were you. What movie was this?
Oh, it's a great movie. It's a Hammer. Out of the Hammer Studios. You know, the Hammer Studios, they can do no wrong. They hit it out of the park. The Hammer Studios hit it out of the park just about every time between, I'd say, 1956 and about 1972, well, maybe a little bit later, 75. The Hammer Studio, Hammer Horror Film, that stood for the great horror movie of all time. And, oh, baby. When they did Scream, Scream Again. And
okay, fine. So it was a Hammer horror movie. I had no idea what you were talking about. We're going to come back here, folks. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. That was just as nuts a thing. We're talking about George Zimmerman. We're going to take more of your phone calls. You know, what do you think? We got no problem with opinions here, but let's hear each other out. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. And, of course, I'm going to try to get... my friend Shoal Heller here, the writer from Inter Magazine, under control. Because, dude, when he started going off on composites, man, he lost me there. We'll be right back here. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil
What's
Hendry
the
Show.
Because he's guilty of murder.
Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL. We're going to take some phone calls now. We've been talking amongst ourselves here. Shoal Heller with me here from Inter Magazine, which is published in Germany, and Shoal is here in the United States. I just want to know, Shoal, you cover all kinds of news for Inter. What else have you been? You were here for the Radio Summit. I know you were here for the Academy Awards. What else?
Well, there's lots of, of course, the presidential election now that you're going to have is very much of interest to my readers in Germany, and we'll be following that. We followed Mitt Romney and this other man, Santorum, you know. I know you don't want me to say, but boy, this Santorum, I don't think even Rick Santorum would not even be allowed to run for any public office in Germany. He would not even be allowed.
Why?
He's just too extreme. He's too extreme. They would never allow him, given the history of our country.
Are you telling me that Rick Santorum was, like, too right-wing?
Oh, never would be allowed to run for office in Germany.
I don't believe that.
I do. You can feel if you want to look at the laws of engagement and the electoral laws in Germany. I'll give you a...
Yeah, well, I can look at those laws all I want. I just don't believe that Rick Santorum, quote-unquote, would never be allowed to run for public office. Here is Bruce. Go ahead, Bruce. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hey, Phil. How you doing?
Yes, sir. I'm good. Thank you.
Good. Hey, Phil. Hey, I got a question for you. You really need to pull out of this thing and not report at all. You're going to attack this reporting as biased as the rest of these reporters have done. I mean, you look at the papers nowadays, and you look on the radio and the TV, and all the reporters that are reporting on this thing have already made up their minds, and they're reporting to that fact.
Well, I mean, how else can you look at? I'm going to be objective. But let me tell you that this case is open and shut. Open and shut.
Okay. So let me ask you a question then. What if,
sure.
if the courts find Zimmerman not guilty? How are you going to report that? Like he won? He got away with murder?
Well, you would have to, wouldn't you? But that would not be the first time, would it, sir? Have you heard of O.J. Simpson? Have you heard of O.J. Simpson? Yes, you have. So it would not be the...
You had Casey Anthony down in that same area.
That's right.
And she
was
found not guilty. But, you know, in my opinion, she was guilty.
Exactly.
The courts are the courts. If the courts find him innocent, he's innocent.
But let me ask you a question, sir.
Sure.
Am I not entitled to say that American justice, if they find this guy not guilty... Then that's they're 3 for 3, you know? Aren't they 3 for 3? They're 3 for 3.
Sir.
What do you mean they're 3 for 3?
O.J. Simpson.
No, that's not 3 for 3. That's 3 cases that were very prominent and very well publicized. Doesn't mean the juries get it wrong all the time.
Well, I you know, this would never happen in Germany.
You know what? I don't.
My wife is from Germany. She's from Nuremberg.
It would never.
It
ask
happens
your,
in
ask
Germany
your wife.
All the time.
So you said your wife is from Nuremberg.
Nuremberg.
Nuremberg. There's no such place.
Nuremberg.
Oh, you
Nuremberg.
Said Nuremberg.
It's down by.
Well, you're going Nuremberg. You said Nuremberg. There's no Nuremberg.
Nuremberg. That's the name of it is.
No, it's Nuremberg. Nuremberg. You said Nuremberg.
I'm sorry.
You know what?
I'm
if this was Nazi Germany, you probably would have said David. You gave it a Jewish name. You gave it a Jewish name.
No, he did not. It's Nuremberg. His wife's from Nuremberg.
Okay, well, you ask your wife there, sir. This gentleman is Bruce. You ask your wife.
Yeah.
If in Germany they would let this kind of murder go unpunished, and I will tell you what she'll say, no. Because we come from, you have to understand the history of my country, we come from so much injustice that was practiced, you know, that we have to.
Oh, come on. No society is perfect, in a democratic society especially. If you're handling a criminal case with a jury system like we do.
But the German people have a history of having been jacked over, you know, to use a phrase that you use.
So they've been jacked over.
So they're a little bit smarter about it. Just a little bit smarter.
Well,
the German people have also been known to be wrong.
There are people in prison
in Germany right now that they claim they have been railroaded. They've been innocent. We receive the German papers from my parents-in-law.
Did you say your
parents-in-law? If the court in the United States finds Zimmerman not guilty, the man is not guilty. He cannot be tried again. And if you report this thing biased as he got away with murder, then you should not report it. You have the right
to
say it.
Wait.
You do not
wait a
have
second.
The right to read it like
wait,
that.
Wait a second. I have. What about O.J. Simpson? Did they not write that he would go away with murder? Yes, they did. Are you saying they had no right to say that? Of course they did.
I am saying that.
Oh, get out of here.
Reporters
I bet you thought
should
it,
be unbiased in their writing and reporting of the news.
Yeah, if you're reporting, I agree.
In fact.
Right. Bruce is right if you're a reporter.
You two guys, and excuse me, Bruce, for saying this, but what magazine do you write for? That's what I thought.
No, wait a second, man. We're consumers, so we can have an opinion about this. I don't want my news reporting to be anything other than who, what, when, where, and why, and I want it to be reporting. If you're telling me that you're a commentator or you're a columnist, you're an editorialist, and you're giving an opinion, well, then I want to see it very clearly in bold there in the banner. This is my editorial opinion, you know.
And you write for what newspaper?
You know, that's you're just not going to get away with that, okay?
You two guys trying to tell me my stuff, you know, it's... Boy, that's rough.
No, man.
No, sir. I am not a writer. I am not trying to tell you how to do your job.
We're not doing...
News reporters should write the news. They shouldn't put their own opinion in the news.
I agree, 100%. And we're getting more and more of this kind of nonsensical reporting of guys giving opinions.
Boy, you guys are hardball. You won't even let me. So I'm supposed to come to America, do this juicy trial. This is a juicy story, you know that. I mean, this thing is beautiful, and I'm supposed to play this like Brenda Starr?
Brenda Starr. Anyway, thank you very much, Bruce.
All right, thank you, Bill.
Go ahead. Thank you, sir. Thank you. What does that mean?
You know, you want me to play this thing like what I'm trying to say to you, Phil, is simply this. This is a story that is a... It's a big story. It's a once-in-a-lifetime story.
And because it's a once-in-a-lifetime story...
Because it's a once-in-a-lifetime story, you want me to play it like Jimmy Olsen. Like I'm a cop reporter.
No, I don't. Jimmy Olsen?
You want me to play it like I'm following Clark Kent. I'm just saying to you.
I want you to play it like a regular reporter, like an objective reporter. What is this once-in-a-lifetime thing? You know, because you got a career to promote doesn't mean you get to play it fast and loose with the facts. And
who said I'm going to do that?
Well, when we were both saying, myself and Bruce, saying you should be objective as a reporter, you were like, woo, and you were going all...
It's just that I can tell you that I have been in this business for a long time, and rarely do you see a story come along that is juicy. And boy, you want to get into the story as much as you can. This is a career maker or breaker.
And well, that's what I'm saying. And in order to make your career, write the truth, okay?
Phil, what do you think I do?
And I think that you are sounding like a guy that's willing to write anything.
That's not the kind... You think I'm a whore? Do you think I'm a whore? Do you think I'm a whore?
No, I don't. But I'm telling you, don't allow yourself to drift into that area.
Do I look like a whore to you, huh? Do I look like little Mary Jane to you? Huh?
No, you don't. I'm telling you, just don't drift into that area.
I'm not a whore. I believe it's murder, but I'm not a whore.
Those are two words you should just steer clear of.
What? Whore and murder?
Yes, but don't say those words, because...
they compromise me.
You got it. Thanks very much, Joel.
All right, Phil, and my very best to you, and thank you for me to be... for you, you had me...
I had you on my show.
Yeah, for me, for I had me on your show.
Great, thanks a lot.
Is it murder?
What a freak. We'll be back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
Do I look like a whore?
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. And again, my apologies to my website viewers. We had the audio muted there in that segment. And if you think it pisses you off, believe me, it doesn't piss you off anywhere near as much as it pisses me off. Or the fact that the reasons why we have to mute. So I apologize and... we continue to straighten that one out. Welcome back here on the world famous Phil Hendry Show. It's Friday. It's been it was a very good week. Tonight has just been out there, and maybe it's because I've these guests that I've had have just been bugging me. Man, this Joel Heller with his whole thing on composites that blew me away. And I'm drawing a blank on our first hour. I'm blacking it out with good reason. you know, because, I know what it was. It was Ted Bell. And, that, you know, I don't know what happened to me.
Yeah, you just all of a sudden stopped talking.
We thought you were like in catatonia.
You thought I was catatonic?
Yeah.
I reached this point. There was a point in that first hour when I just stopped. There was nothing I could say. There was nothing I could say. There was nowhere to go. There wasn't anything I could say. I was all of a sudden out of any, you know, I didn't feel like I had any control over anything.
Why? Just because that one guy's a dumbass?
Yeah, you'd think that dumbass callers wouldn't bother me as much, and they didn't, so much as my inability to either control them or the guest that we had, Ted Bell. And the fact that maybe I knew how to control them, but I didn't want to do it anymore.
You don't have to yell at people. Just tell them, just say, Dear Mr. Douchebag.
Yeah, let's do that. You ought to have a segment, Dear Mr. Douchebag.
Yeah, sure. Dear Mr. Douchebag, what?
Dear Mr. Douchebag, please shut up.
Signed, Phil Henry.
Yeah, signed, Phil Henry.
Somehow, I don't think that's going to work. All right, anyway, welcome back here. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show this Friday night. A couple of things to mention. We're online at philhenryshow.com, philhenryshow.com. You can get a backstage pass to watch, enjoy, and dig this show. You can get the podcast of our show each and every day. You can get thousands and thousands and thousands of hours of archived radio shows, full three-hour radio shows going back over a decade. That's right. Only on the world-famous Phil Henry Show website. You also get a lot of character clips and other minutiae and bits and pieces of our radio show down through the years. And all of these have been or are in the process of being converted into MP3s for download. That's right. So that when you have a backstage pass, you can download anything you want in our audio section. We also have video archives of video casts we've done in the past. We've got a full year of archived audio and video from our Saturday night show, our Los Angeles show that we did for a period of about 14, 15 months until I had to give it up because I was about to have, you know, I was about to die of a stroke.
Yeah, you were looking pretty bad.
Well, thanks, bud. I don't think I was looking that bad, but I was feeling like, oh, my God, I got to have a day off here.
Yeah, you know, man, you don't stand up.
Was that English he just spoke?
Yeah, what'd you just say? What'd he talk? What do you mean?
Did you just speak English?
What?
Did that the...
Yeah, I didn't get sound like Swahili.
Hey, shut up, man. Hey. Don't get raced up.
What? What do you mean Swahili? What did you just say?
You ought to get to bed early, man. You still ain't getting to bed early.
Oh, yeah, no, you're right. You're right. You're right. Well, you know, one of the things is I've gone in the other direction now because we don't have the Saturday night show, which always meant that, oh, God, I have to do a 7 p.m. show, so I better get to bed because, you know, I don't get out of bed until 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Now, since we don't have the Saturday night show, I'm just staying up all night.
Yeah, you're like watching horror movies.
What better thing is there to do at night than watch horror movies? You nuts? Are you crazy?
That is pretty cool.
If you're going to stay up all night, there's only one reason to stay up all night other than, you know.
Yeah.
Other than that reason, but the other reason is to watch horror movies. So don't give me your song and a dance about that. All right, moving on. Let's talk about the Maricopa. And the University of Colorado sought on Friday. Now, we reported on this, that today was 420. And for those of you that don't know what that means, whatever. And it's not, don't worry, you're not alone. And, you know, 420 is essentially a pot smoker's national holiday. So let's just call it that. All right. Today, the University of Colorado sought to clamp down on a huge marijuana fest, but after initially restricting access to the school, police later stood back and watched hundreds of people light up in a campus field. Three protesters across police lines at the Boulder campus were arrested for trespassing and about 11 others cited, but a confrontation thought possible between protesters and police never materialized. This is a multi-year effort, but the consensus is right now that we took a major step in ending this event. University spokesman Branson Hilliard said, referring to the hundreds of participants this year versus 10,000 last year. So I guess they got the word out.
Yeah, the people stayed away.
Now, the people were going to stay away from it because they knew that now next year thousands will show up to say, hey, how come we weren't there? Because they didn't bust anybody. And, you know,
that's when they'll have a confrontation.
Well, I don't know, man. I don't even know what the national feeling is on legalizing weed is anymore. I really honestly don't. I can tell you this much. the legalized medicinal or whatever the hell you want to call it, prescription medical marijuana in California, for the most part, has been a success, with rare exceptions. And those rare exceptions are the following. Some of these places that don't control their customers. Some people are lighting up on the premises. Some people are blasting up as they're walking out the front door. There are some places also that have sold weed to people that don't have either a valid prescription or a valid medical marijuana ID. So that's a bust. And then if you have a co-op, you know what I mean by these co-ops?
Yeah, well, that place up in Summerlin.
All right, there's a place up the freeway from us here. We're up on the Ventura County, L.A. Ventura County line. There's a place up the freeway in Summerlin that got shut down briefly. Now, it is a co-op, and forgive me if I'm wrong, but I believe co-op in this sense is that the marijuana, the medical marijuana that you're prescribing, or excuse me, the medical marijuana that you're selling has to be provided by members of your own co-op. If I'm not mistaken, this place got shut down because I believe it was the Santa Barbara sheriff literally busted a supplier who'd come in from Northern California.
Yeah, that guy was coming in from Humboldt.
Well, what do you mean Humboldt? How do you know it was Humboldt?
That's where all the marijuana is.
Well, you don't know if it was Humboldt. You know it was Northern California, right?
Well, yeah.
Okay, so in other words, he was coming in from another part of the state. He was not a member of the co-op. They were buying the weed from a guy. They made a mistake, and they shouldn't have bought the weed from this guy who was a supplier. It was a legitimate supplier. He was a legitimate supplier. He had a license to do it, but they're not supposed to buy it. So they shut them down briefly until they got their act together and recognized what they did wrong. By and large, though, I don't think it's been a problem. And by and large, it's been a successful thing, medical marijuana. Now, here we have Colorado, and they can have people, I understand. See, one of the things people don't understand is this. Oh, wow, Colorado, man, they busted on. Well, what is the guy supposed to do if you're the president of the university, and the parents are coming, and the alumni are coming to you, and they're saying, what the hell are you doing?
Yeah, he got to do something, man, otherwise he's going to lose his job.
Well, yeah. Hey, what are you doing? You're the president? Yeah. Well, what the hell are these people are lighting up and smoking weed out here? Well, I mean, we have low tolerance. You ain't going to have low tolerance for nothing, man. I tell you what, you're going to have to develop low tolerance for not eating because you're going to have a job. So that's what they'll come to you and they'll threaten you with losing your gig. Well, what would you do? Same thing with Obama, you know, when people are saying, gee, Obama, you're really turning your back on the pro-decriminalization, pro-legalization forces. And Obama said, I'm the president of the United States. If the state governor says there's a federal law being violated, what the hell are you doing, Mr. President? I got to do something about it. So don't tell me. You know, I'm not going to stand around with my thumb in my rear end while I got a million of these governors screaming bloody murder that they're, you know.
Yeah, Benny, Holder should have not said what he said.
Holder said that it was not going to be a priority. Well, it got to be a priority, obviously. We'll take a break. We'll be back here. World-famous Phil Henry Show. This is what we do in our News and Information Hour. We kick it around. We're online at philhenryshow.com. Big news coming up. Coming up within next week sometime on philhenryradio.com. That's right, philhenryradio.com. So the Phil Henry Show expands its online presence, and we'll tell you more about it next week. This is the world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show. For all things news and talk radio, visit trncentral.com.
Famous Phil Henry Show. Well, it is Saturday morning. This is now the 21st. It ain't the 20th, so TCM can back off of this weird stuff. I don't know what they're doing there.
What the name of this movie? It's called Equinox, and it's the weirdest movie. It's stupid. I mean, it's the cheapest. It's cheap. And look at that. That's cheap. Look how cheap it is.
It's pretty cheap, man. It's a demon bat that's flying Oh, he flew right into the crucifix and then set himself on fire. This was, it's a claymation.
What do you call that?
It's called claymation. It's up until CGI, claymation was probably the most advanced form of special effects in filmmaking, especially when it came to making horror movies and making science fiction movies. Before they had computer-generated effects or computer-generated, why do they call it CGI? Computer-generated...
Image.
Yeah, computer-generated images. Well, before that, the closest thing they had was, they could use, like in the case of was it Spielberg that did Close Encounters of the Third? Yeah, Spielberg, he used large sets and props that were photographed interestingly, and he might have used a little CGI. But this is the cheesiest stuff I've ever seen. It's a bunch of freaking claymation. That's what it is.
What do they do?
Well, in claymation, man, they literally set the clay character up and photographed each little move.
Well, that'd take forever, man. You tell me that they did it with King Kong?
King Kong was claymation, yeah. They had to literally photograph each separate little move of the... And the same thing with this stupid movie that we're watching now with these dopey-looking clay things, but... yeah, this is cheese, man. And I think the reason why they're running this cheese is because, as Dan pointed it out, there's a lot of people that are blasting up tonight because it's, you know, it's 420 and they want to really blow their... They want to blow what's left of their brains clear out of both ears.
Man, if I was blasting up tonight, man, this would take my mind into newer areas.
Well, where your mind not been, man? Your mind all been every place a mind can go.
Yeah, I've never been here.
Yeah, well, how about just keeping your mind here? Forget about the green slime. Oh, look at this. Now it's a car that nobody's driving is going to run this guy over. Oh, that's great. What the hell is that?
I don't know, like a ghost car.
So we've got claymation demon bats and a ghost car just ran the guy over. Okay, great. Here's a story of note.
Yeah, you got to look at this one here. Right here.
Okay, but I've got it.
Yeah, but wait.
I've got it, man. God.
Here?
Yes, I saw it. The fallout from the movie John Carter has finally reached the very highest levels of Disney Studios. As you may or may not know, it doesn't matter. Rich Ross, who was the chief of the film division of, you know, he was the head of Walt Disney Studios, has been canned. And why is that? Because the movie John Carter, with its $200 million, whatever the hell it was, $200 million budget, I forget how much the budget was, but they went in. It was a $250 million movie, and they've made worldwide $268 million. So they've made just $18 million back on the flick, and that's not what you're supposed to do when you're running Walt Disney Studios.
You gotta make more money than that.
Oh, hell yeah, you got to make more money. Especially when you got what you said, I'm going to put $200 million into a movie? You better believe you got to make more money than that. So that's how it is in the entertainment business. One flop movie, and boom, you're gone. You're out of a job. His exit as the film chief there at Disney reflects the high cost of inexperience and a failure to surround himself with knowledgeable aides, observers say. It also raises doubts about CEO Robert Iger's ability to modernize the studio. Whatever. Walt Disney film chief Rich Ross's abrupt departure on Friday comes as a... Well, that was today. You got canned today?
No, I thought it was like last week.
Last week? He got canned today, man. Maybe. I don't know. But his abrupt departure... I don't know. I don't keep up on this crap. His abrupt departure comes at a difficult time for one of the largest and oldest and most successful of Hollywood's historic entertainment companies. It's also called into question Walt Disney's... Chairman and Chief Executive Robert Iger's ambitious attempt to modernize the 89-year-old studio by placing a TV executive in charge of his film division and accelerates uncertainty at a time when all entertainment companies are struggling to come to terms with a dying DVD business and long-term declines in movie ticket sales.
Yeah, but that don't mean people not watching movies.
No. They're watching them on demand. They're watching them on Netflix. They're, you know, the delivery platform is different. The delivery platform is different. That's what everything is now. Everything's a delivery system, a delivery platform. It's a platform. What's the platform? You know, what are you using? Everything's a platform. Even now, the military speaks in terms of a weapons platform.
What do you mean?
Do you know what a jet fighter is now? A jet fighter is a weapons platform.
What's that mean?
It means it's just another platform from which you can fire weapons. So a jet fighter is a weapons platform. You could even say that a soldier is a weapons platform, you know, if you wanted to really get technical. But I don't necessarily dislike the lingo, but it serves to provide us with information on what's going on in business. And what's happening in business more than anything else with the explosion of communications technology is we have different ways of delivering content. We have different ways of delivering information. We have different ways of delivering entertainment. We have different ways of delivering our love to our loved ones, different ways of delivering our order in a restaurant.
But what do you mean, different way of delivering order in a restaurant?
You're talking about like a view of calling out for food.
No, not necessarily. Well, yeah, you know, if you were sending out. There's going to be a time now, and not too distant future, where it's all going to be on video. You're going to flip on your phone, and you're going to be looking at the chick there at whatever the hell it is, you know, dots on the dot, or pink hot dogs. And you'll be talking to them saying, yes, can I get a hot dog with, you know.
Yeah, that's going to be a mess, man. That won't work, because they won't do it.
Why?
Because guys are going to call up. Say if you have, like, a video platform, okay?
Don't get all technical, man.
That's what he said it was.
Okay, so I got a video platform. Then what?
Okay, if you have a restaurant and you got a video plat and people can call and place a video order.
Okay.
Then you know what's going to happen if you have a girl that's working? Guy will call up and he'll show it.
Oh, man, you got a filthy mind, you know?
Well, he's right. He's right. He's right.
You think people do that?
Yeah, people are going to do that because they're sick.
You're right. No, Bud's right. I wouldn't do that if it was a restaurant, if I was any business. Some cat is going to call up to place an order, and he's going to have it dangling there. You know?
Maybe that just means he wants extra mustard.
Get out of here. Give me extra mustard. Pretty sick, dude. No, I don't know, but the point that I'm making here is that the film business is people aren't going to the movie theaters to watch movies anymore. It's rough. I'll tell you one other thing that movie theaters should do. They should, and maybe it's worth it, I don't know. They should enhance the movie experience.
Well, you mean like serving food, man? They ought to have done that.
Well, maybe it's something they should go back to, because this is 30 years old, man. 30 years ago, when I was living in Orlando, and I was starting out in the radio, say 30 years, longer than 30, almost 40 years ago, when I was starting out in radio, we used to hang out at this place that had movies, and they sold beer and popcorn, and they had tables, and they had sofas, and you sat down and you watched the movie while sucking down some brews. And I'll tell you, I liked it. Now, maybe it didn't do as well as it should have. It probably was not profitable because it didn't. It was in business for maybe about 2 years, and then it went out of business.
What kind of movies?
Well, that was it. The movies they showed were second run. In other words, and they weren't all that good. I can't even remember a movie that I saw there. All I remember was it was kind of cool to sit down with a pitcher of beer and just be, you know, watching a flick and eating popcorn and drinking beer and sitting at a table with your friends and kind of enjoying the experience that way. But there's one movie that I do remember watching there was The Hindenburg, which is not even all that good of a movie.
Ain't that the one with George C. Scott?
Yeah, so what?
That he's a good actor.
He was a good actor. It doesn't mean he wasn't in some stiffs. And that stunk. The Hindenburg. I do remember one scene where that little French guy from Hogan's Heroes.
Yeah.
He was in that movie and he swung from a rope and dropped and didn't get hurt. Anyway, we'll be right back here. The world famous Phil Hendry Show.
You mean he was like in Hogan's Heroes?
No, he wasn't in the movie.
You're listening to the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Hey, welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. And I was just talking to Bud and Dan and the guys about the Ventura Theater, which is our theater here in the Ventura area of just on the, you know, past the county line of Los Angeles. The Ventura Theater is a really old school theater that goes back, God, I don't know how many years it goes back, but it's had some fantastic bands that have played there from time to time.
Yeah, talk about Gwar up there. I went and saw Gwar.
You went up and saw them? You saw Gwar?
Yeah, I saw Gwar. I saw Wiz Khalifa up there, too.
At the Ventura Theater?
Yeah.
Yeah, so they've got, here's, I'm just looking at, and the reason why I brought all of this up is because we were discussing that cinema house, you know, and you know, movies that you can see, but I thought it was really cool because I went and I've seen a couple of shows at the Ventura Theater that it is still the old style theater, and I don't know how to describe it because it's not exactly the Art Deco period.
It's more like a 1930, like all that.
What do they call that, man? Rococo or so? Anyway,
Rocky Rococo.
Rocky Rococo. That's the name of a villain on Rocky and Bullwinkle. Yeah, right here, bud. They got DJ Clay, Burlesque Jambertees, Burlesque, J Boog, and Fiji.
I don't know any of those groups.
Death Angel. Anyway, so this is a theater with a great deal of history. There's actually a fantastic group of people on Facebook who are a total Majestic Ventura Theater freaks, and they're into, you know, preserving the history, the yada, the yada, the yada. But I don't know. Just to give you this background, I'd go in there, and they've got seats where the floor seating used to be, and they have seats up in the balcony section, too. And they are very much a legitimately big-time concert hall because they've had really seriously good bands and music acts play there. But that whole section of Ventura is getting really nice. And
yeah, then the Hives played. Did you see the Hives?
Yeah, I saw the Hives. I saw Rancid.
You saw the Hives and Rancid.
Yeah, and I saw the Deftones, and I forget who else.
Yeah, the Misfits.
No, I didn't see the Misfits.
See, so there's something going on up there all the time. But that's just another example of a, used to be a movie theater, and now it's a place where you can go and drink beer. Yeah. All right. Here's, got some Ted Nugent news. Do you want to hear it?
Yeah. I hope the Secret Service kicked his ass.
No, the Secret Service didn't kick his ass. As a matter of fact, the Secret Service said his explanation made them happy. There will be no charges, blah, blah.
Well, they're not going to charge him with trying to kill a president, are they?
Well, they were Ted Nugent said a very irresponsible thing. So irresponsible that the Secret Service said to him, you know, Mr. Nugent, we know who you are, and with all due respect, you know, your music is great, but you're going to have to explain that, pal. When he said, this time next year, if Obama's elected president, I'm going to be dead or in jail, that had some people worried. So,
yeah, but I'm not Ted Nugent going to try to kill the president. That's nuts, man.
You got too much money to go to prison.
Yeah, well, you just said something key there, Robert. That's nuts. So even if he's the wealthiest guy on earth or the richest rock and roll guy that ever lived, if he's nuts, he's nuts. You ever heard of John Wilkes Booth?
Who's he?
Who's he?
Oh, no, I know.
Yeah, the guy killed Lincoln.
Yeah.
Was he rich?
He was well known. He was an actor. He was well known.
You always said you thought the actor that killed Bush was Sean Penn.
Yeah, I did, and that's probably wasn't very funny. But, I mean, the point being, Sean Penn had me worried there for a while because I thought, well, you know, it's not unprecedented that an actor is taking a shot at a president. And Penn had such a thing on Bush. You know, he was just morning, noon, and night obsessing about that guy. So then you have Ted Nugent and what he said. It's not out of the ordinary. It's we have a precedent in this country for an actor, a well-known actor, killing a president.
Yeah, but that was way back. They didn't have TV. That's totally different.
Let me tell you something, bud. They didn't have TV, but people recognized John Wilkes Booth when he walked down a street. People recognized him.
How come? Because of the newspaper?
Probably because of the newspapers, yeah. Probably because,
Yeah, newspapers, pictures appear in windows. You know, you go downtown, you're going into a place to go shopping. In those days, people would walk down the city streets. They would see pictures. They would see billboards of people. They'd see, you know, they didn't have photographs in newspapers at that time, but they had artist renderings of things. So, you know, so Ted Nugent, this has nothing to do with the whole thing about Obama. This has to do with his hunting exploits. He's agreed to plead guilty in an illegal bear kill. Rocker and wildlife hunter Ted Nugent has agreed to plead guilty to transporting a black bear that he illegally killed in southeast Alaska. Nugent made the admission in signing a plea agreement with federal prosecutors that was filed Friday in U.S. District Court. Calls seeking comment from Nugent, his Anchorage attorney, Wayne Anthony Ross, and Assistant U.S. Attorney Jack Schmidt were not immediately returned. The plea agreement says Nugent illegally shot and killed the bear in May of 2009 on the Sequon Island, days after wounding a bear in a bow hunt, which counted toward a state seasonal limit of one bear. According to the agreement, first reported to... He wounded the bear?
Yeah, I mean, did he kill him?
Says he wounded a bear with an arrow in a bow hunt. Boy, those bow hunters, either you know what you're doing or you don't. I mean, if you can't kill an animal with a bow, an arrow, with the first shot, then what are you doing, man?
Yeah, well, he's eating it for food.
So, what's that? What difference does that make?
If you're eating it for food...
If you're eating it for food, what? What do you mean, food?
They make bear sausage, you told me.
Okay, so let's say they eat bear sausage or whatever. What's that got to do with it?
Well, they're hunting with a bow and arrow, that's how people do it.
No, that ain't how people do it. Native people may do it that way. But if you're some jackball with a bow, you're a bow-hunting white man or whatever you are, and you're doing it because it's just, oh, so Native American, and your ass doesn't know how to use one of those things to the point where you're only wounding the animal, I mean, that is inhumane. Period. Because the cat's using a bow and arrow, why? Because he wants to get his rocks off as Mr. Outdoorsman, Mr., you know, Grizzly Adams or something?
Who's he?
Grizzly Adams? He was that guy on TV, right?
What guy?
The guy on TV with the beard. Anyway...
You mean Royal Dano?
Royal Dano?
Get out of here! Think the guy who did the Wild Man shirt. Dano looked like James Brown.
I didn't say he looked like James Brown. He looked like John Brown, you idiot. So, according to the agreement, first reported by the Anchorage Daily News, the six-day hunt was filmed for the Outdoor Channel television show Spirit of the Wild. Oh, I'll just bet it was. See, I got, you know, Ted Nugent, I agree with his stand on guns, and I also agree with his stand on hunting for the most part, but I got a little bit of a problem with guys that are all of a sudden, hey, you know, let me go on out there, I'm Mr. Outdoor, hey. You know, these cats, they pull out their knife, and let me tell you, I can survive in the wild. Maybe you're out there hunting with a bow and arrow because you want to get in your practice shots, because someday you may have to, hunt with a bow and arrow. But I think trying out your bow and arrow on a beautiful animal like a bear and only wounding it, man, that bothers me. In any event, in the hunt, Nugent used a number of bear baiting sites on the U.S. Forest Service property, according to the agreement. The document says Nugent knowingly possessed and transported the bear in misdemeanor violation of the Federal Lacey Act. Now, that must be some act that was passed by the Congress having to do with transporting game. Nugent, identified in the agreement as Theodore A. Nugent.
Theodore! Ha, ha, ha! Shut up, man. So what?
What a dork.
Yeah? So what's your name?
Robert.
Oh.
What's yours?
Budley.
Budley!
All right, take it easy.
I can't help it. It's what they call me.
That's really your name, huh?
That's what they name me. It's not my fault.
Yeah, it's not no funny. This is that guy's name is Theodore.
All right, so his name's Theodore. So is Beaver Cleaver's name was Theodore, too. And look what a great American he was.
Yeah, he's a Nazi.
What are you talking about?
Yeah, he's a racist. Just like that Elvis Presley is a racist. Straight up.
Theodore Cleaver was a racist?
Yeah, a redneck racist.
You're out of your mind. You don't know nothing about the Theodore. You know nothing about the Theodore Cleaver.
Man, you know what? You ought to get fixed. I don't know how. I don't know whether that means you get spayed or whether you get yourself brain surgery. But
all right, shut up. Both you guys, knock it off. You ought to get yourself fixed.
Anyway, his name is Theodore. What do you mean Beaver Cleaver's a fascist and a redneck racist straight up?
I don't know.
God.
Yeah, that's Theodore Cleaver's a great American.
I'm sure Theodore Cleaver, that guy's a redneck racist straight up.
All right.
No offense, Mr. Mathers, if you're listening. So anyway, Theodore A. Cleaver, Nugent.
Well, which guy was it?
It might have been Theodore Cleaver by this point. Nugent got away, but Theodore Cleaver was arrested. Anyway, Nugent agreed to pay $10,000 in fines, according to the agreement, which says he also agreed with a 2-year probation, including a special condition that he not hunt or fish in Alaska or the Forest Service properties for 1 year. In other words, stay away from us, Nugent, if you don't mind. If it's all the same to you, keep your bow and your arrow and your gun and your knife and your outdoorsy whole thing, and just stay clear of our ass for a year. Thank you. I have nothing against Ted Nugent. Great music, and like I said, I agree with him in principle on much of what he says. His politics, not so much. His politics, not so much. But his stand on gun rights, totally. But I get a little, let's just put it this way. A little bit of guys like Ted Nugent go a long way for me. Yeah, okay, you got your bow and your arrow, and you're, next thing you know, this guy's going to be driving around with a teepee in the back of his truck, because just a regular tent isn't good enough.
Teepee? You look like you're a gay to teepee.
Ride around in a sweat lodge. Yeah, that's right. Ted Nugent will have his own. Oh, no, that's too new agey for Ted Nugent. Sweat lodge. All right. So they're saying to Ted Nugent, stay the hell off of federal, hunting property for a year. He also agreed to create a public service announcement that would be broadcast on his show every second week for 1 year. The document states, what show? Oh, this outdoor thing? This PSA will discuss the importance of a hunter's responsibility in knowing the rules and regulations of the hunting activities that they engage in, which is subject to the review and final approval prior to any broadcast by a representative of the United States Attorney's Office of the District of Alaska. So that means Nugent has got to film this PSA, which means public service announcement, and then he has to submit it to the U.S. attorney in Alaska, and they need to approve it before it goes on the air. So he can't do any cutesy-poo maneuvers that way. Nugent, who signed the document April 14th, also agreed to pay the state $600 for the bear that was illegally taken. Nugent, a conservative activist famed for his 1977 hit Cat Scratch Fever, he's very well known among rock and roll fans. But that was the one that gave him most of his notoriety.
What about that one, Wango Tango?
Yeah, the Wango's a Tango.
The Wango's a Tango?
Yeah.
A Wango Tango, that was another album he did. Okay, so. He's a conservative activist, blah, 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 drew the attention of the Secret Service after he railed last week for Republican presidential candidate Mitt Romney and said of the Obama administration, we need to ride into that battlefield and chop their heads off in November. His comments were made during a National Rifle Association meeting in St. Louis. Nugent said on his website Thursday that he discussed the matter with two agents on Thursday while in Oklahoma. The meeting could not have gone better. I thanked them for their service. We shook hands and went out and went about our business. God bless the good federal agents, wherever they may be. Nugent said he was just speaking figuratively, that he didn't threaten anyone's life or advocate violence. Metaphors needn't be explained to educated people. Yeah, metaphors needn't be explained to educated people, Ted. But you also have to explain whether it's a metaphor or not. Now, I know that your wife and kids and your friends probably think you're a great guy, and your mom and your dad, and everybody knows you. Not everyone knows you. Not everyone knows all about you. Not everyone knows what the hell it is you're talking about from 1 minute to the next, Ted. All right, we got to take a break. We'll be right back. So anyway, Ted Nugent got spanked by the Alaska fish and game people. Put the bow and arrow up, man. Start shooting with a regular gun, and give the animal, if you're going to kill the animal, give him a quick death. Not a bow and arrow death. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. You're listening to the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah, so I was just telling Dan and Robert and Bud the story.
That's on a TV?
Yeah, it was. I watched that military channel. And now here, if this doesn't put it into perspective for you, I don't know what will. This was a show about Army, the Special Forces, and they do a thing on it's called Surviving the Cut. So they show these guys that go through boot camp for various and sundry special elite forces stuff. Like they have the Air Force medics, and they have the Navy combat boat guys, and they have the Marines this, and the Army has the Rangers, and they also have these sappers that we were talking about the other night with R.C. Collins, right?
Yeah.
All right. Now, if this doesn't put all of that He-Man surviving in the wild stuff into perspective, nothing will. They were showing these guys, among the many things that these sappers have to learn how to do, is survive in the wild. Survive when there is no one around. Survive when your food's gone. Survive when there are enemy forces around you and you can't make your way to any food. And this guy had a white bunny rabbit. Now, he made this point. It wasn't because it was a white bunny rabbit. He did make this point to these soldiers. He said, this animal, you guys, it's very important to kill humane.
He's saying that to the soldiers.
He said that to these soldiers that are standing there because he's about to slaughter this rabbit. He said, it's important to kill this animal humane because this animal is about to give his life to keep you guys alive. You know how these army guys talk. So, roger that. Yeah, roger. Okay. So then he proceeded, they didn't show it, but he proceeded to kill this rabbit, skinned it, and began to talk about the protein, this, and the fat content, that, and what you have to do, what you have to eat in the wild to survive. Now, I understand that there isn't always a furry bunny rabbit around, and there may be a big moose, and maybe all you have is your bow and your arrow, but I submit to you that that's more the fantasy of a bunch of, excuse my French, jag-blank guys with their truck and their house and their wife and their kids, and on the weekend they want to go out and pretend like they're... But this was an Army guy talking to Special Forces candidates about how you really survive and how to really slaughter an animal when you are without any food. And the first thing out of his mouth was, it's important to be humane when you kill this creature. You know, it's important to be humane. Now, I don't know what that means to anybody, but I can tell you this. This was a class that he was giving not in how to go out hunting and make a campfire. This wasn't a class he was giving on how to set your tent up real neat or how to wear your hat really cool or how to hang out with Ted Nugent. It was literally a class for combat training on how to survive when your life depends on it. And the first thing out of his mouth was, you slaughter this animal humane because he's about to give his life for you. I thought it was a little piece of sort of Zen Buddhist philosophy in the middle of all of this hard-ass military stuff.
Yeah, but I can give his life for it. A rabbit don't care.
All right, the rabbit doesn't care, but what he's talking...
They're not talking about the Pocahontas stuff.
Yeah, Pocahontas.
Pocahontas?
Yeah, remember that movie where they're talking about the rocks?
Yeah, they said a rock knows how to talk.
In what movie are you jackasses talking about now?
In the movie Pocahontas, man. They talk about all the rocks and they'll have names.
Yeah.
Oh, you're talking about that song? Listen, you knuckleheads, I'm not talking about Pocahontas, and I ain't talking about Indians. I'm talking about a guy in the U.S. Army.
Yeah, talking all that Pocahontas talk. That ain't gonna get nobody no place.
You shut up. Talking all that Pocahontas talk, huh? Is that what you think it is?
No, I mean, I believe you. I just don't
be such a bunch of smartasses, you guys. I was making a very good point, and you guys decided to just rain on my parade.
Don't cry.
I'll try not to. Oh, God, what a night. Well, thank you all for being with us here this evening on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We're going to have on our website our log for this evening. So make sure you check into that, and you'll see the show log for tonight. If you don't have a backstage pass, we do suggest you get one to the Phil Hendry Show website. It affords you thousands of hours of pleasurable listening, thousands of hours of radio shows archived right there at philhendryshow.com. And we also have on our website, of course, access to our daily podcast of this show. The other thing I want to tell you is that we have Phil Hendry Presents, a brand new podcast that is we're 2 weeks out from, and that is a free podcast that will be available to you. And look for philhendryradio.com
That will be coming up very, very shortly. So we are really, as they say, we are extending our reach into the worldwide ether, and we are launching from
multiple platforms.
Thank you, Bud Dickman. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show is produced by Dan Northcraft as well as Phil Hendry. And don't forget, philhendryshow.com. We are going to see you guys on Monday night. And until then, let that be a lesson for you.
Phil Hendry.